Because of our scripture reading, this sermon is possible. I want to call your attention this morning, emphasizing words. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, Paul pointed out that divine revelation came in the form of words. Words which the Holy Ghost teacheth. There are lots of words throughout the Old and New Testaments that are emphasizing words, that give emphasis to various points under consideration. Let me call attention to a few examples. I begin by taking us to the book of Luke in chapter 1 and verse 1. The gospel according to Luke begins with this statement. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. Did you notice in that statement some emphasizing words? Luke didn't talk about those things believed among us, but he said which are most surely believed among us. And so you might highlight most surely. Those are emphasizing words. It emphasizes the certainty of the gospel record and leaves room for no doubt. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Most surely. Do you believe that He is the Savior? Most surely. Do you believe that in 6 days God made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is? Most surely. Do you believe that God made man? Most surely. Do you believe that God put man to sleep and took a rib from his side and made a woman and brought her unto man? Most surely. Do you believe that baptism is really necessary for salvation? Most surely. And on that can go. As Luke talked about, things most surely believe. That's what we're in for as we think about emphasizing words. Let me give you another example. When I think about emphasizing words, I think about the statement made in the book of John 3 and verse 16. Jesus said, for God so loved the world. Did you notice an emphasizing word? He didn't say, God loved the world, but God so loved the world. That word so is an emphasizing word. It gives more oomph, if you will, to the point being made. It emphasizes the magnitude of God's love. He loved me so. Psalm number 301. It's not just He loved me, but He loved me so. He gave His precious life for me, because He loved me so. And whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. A number of passages emphasize the magnitude of God's love. Like Romans 5:8, where Paul penned, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why could Paul write in Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, because He loved us so? Right? Have you observe that emphasizing word in 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. We're emphasizing the fact that God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son in the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's 1 John 4, 8 through 10. So as you jot down emphasizing words, add so to your list. But as I explored this book looking for emphasizing words, I was reminded of the statement made by our Lord in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 30. In the midst of his teaching on the Mount, he taught that we ought not worry. The expression that he used was, take no thought for your life. Then this question, Matthew 6:30. Wherefore hath God so clothed the grass of the field which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven? What's the question? Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? I believe I see some emphasizing words. The Lord didn't just say, shall he not clothe you? But he said, shall he not much more clothe you? Those two words, much more, are emphasizing words. And they're important words because they're words which the Holy Ghost teaches. In this context of why worry, he emphasizes the importance of man over the grass of the field and God's care. How God clothes the grass of the field, and if he does that, shall he not much more clothe you? And then the application is, verse 31, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Why worry about what you're going to wear? Why worry about clothing? If God so clothed the grass of the field, shall he not much more clothe you? Remember the lilies of which he spoke earlier, verses 28 and 29, he said that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Much more. Gives emphasis to God's care. I need to remind myself of that. But then there's another statement I want to call attention to from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 9. If you listen carefully, and pick up on some emphasizing words. Paul said, of this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment. You see him? He didn't just pray that your love may abound. It was about how? More and more. Aren't those emphasizing words? More and more. It's one thing to say that your love abounds. Is another than saying that God may abound more and more. It gives emphasis to abounding love. As well in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, when the apostle directed his words on this slide. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk in to please God, let's rest of that. So you would abound more and more. And so when it comes to abounding, we need to do it more and more. Abounding in love and abounding in a God-pleasing walk. It'll be easy to overlook words like that one. Just read that and not think anything about it. But there are lots of words like that in this book. Emphasizing words. As I gave thought to emphasizing words, I thought about the statement made in Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Let's see if we can find some more emphasizing words. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. How about so much the more? Isn't that emphasizing, exhorting? Have we given enough emphasis to exhortation? You see, exhortation is so vitally important. In Hebrews 3 and verse 13, he said, exhort one another when? How often? Daily. What is called today? Lest. Why do that? Any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceit. It's been said and well said that it'll take you farther than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and keep you longer than you want to stay. And so we need to be exhorted daily, lest that happen. And he said, so much the more. That's emphasizing or talking about. As you see the day approaching, lots of discussion about what the day has reference to. Some people think that it has reference to the first day of the week. Does that mean then that on Monday you do just a little bit of exhorting? Tuesday you do a little bit more. Wednesday you get to go a little bit harder at it. Thursday you step it up a notch even. And then by the time Saturday comes, you're really going after the exhortation. So much the more than you started with on Monday. Does that make sense? So I said, well, I think it has reference to the second coming of Christ and the day of judgment. Can you see that day approaching? Jesus said, of that day that I know of no man. There are no signs of his coming. And so how are you going to see the day approaching and exhort so much the more? Does that make sense? Could it be that as you see the day approaching of one's falling away, so much the more? Think about that. It gives the emphasis, the exhortation. Not forsaking. Usually there are indications when a person begins to do that. Most people don't just fall away all at once. Maybe they start by missing a service here and there. Maybe on Wednesday night. Don't come for Bible study. Then maybe not coming on Sunday afternoon. Missing graduate. Don't see them coming at all. It's usually graduate. I'll wait till it's too late to do the exhortation that needs to be done. So I'm emphasizing when he said, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Again, in the book of Hebrews, how about another statement, chapter 2 and verse 4? Listen to this one, see if you pick up on some emphasizing words. He said, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should run them straight. See some emphasizing words? He didn't just say, give heed, did he? Therefore, we ought to give heed. That'd be one way of saying that. That's not what he said. He said we ought to give the more earnest. And so the more earnest are emphasizing words. That is the most careful attention. In chapter 1, he just emphasized the superiority of Christ. Christ is much better than the angels. Chapter 1, verse 4. And then he said in chapter 2, verse 1 beginning, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them speak. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed in us by them that heard him? You see, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Not just give heed, but the more earnest. Otherwise, it's easy for us to just let things slip. Hebrews 2 and verse 1. But then as I thought about emphasizing words, I couldn't help but be reminded of Ephesians 3 and verse 20, where Paul penned, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above of all that we ask of him, according to the power that works within us. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Some might just pass by those emphasizing words and say that God is able to do what we ask of him. Missed the boat on that. He did that, didn't he? That's not what he said. Yes, it's true that God's able to do what we ask for. That's not what he said. He emphasized the fact that there's no limit to what God is able to do. When he said that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask for. Those are emphasizing words. Exceeding abundantly above all. He didn't just say above or above all or abundantly above all, but exceeding abundantly above all. Those are emphasizing words. You can't read too far in this book and not realize that there's nothing impossible with God. Genesis 18:14, you remember? There's reference to Abraham and Sarah and the birth of Isaac. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's a good question. Genesis 18:14. I tell you, a good answer to that would be what comes in Luke 1 and then verse 37, with reference to Elizabeth and Mary, the birth of John and Jesus. For with God nothing shall be impossible. I do well remember that when I pray. There is no limit to what God is able to do. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask of him. According, he said, to the power that worketh in us. That's a great statement. Hard to wrap your mind around that, isn't it? God will do it. But then one more. We haven't touched the hem of the garment of all that can be said about emphasizing words. But in the book of John 3 and in verse 23, I believe I found another. When it is said of John the Baptist that he was baptizing in a knot near to Salem, why was he baptizing there? Because there was much water there, and they gave him a baptism. See the emphasizing word? Much. M-U-C-A. He didn't say there was water there. But much more. That emphasizes something about baptism. That it requires much more. It emphasizes the action of it. It's not just a sprinkling or pouring of a little water on a person, but it requires much more. In fact, when you read of folks being baptized, you always read of them coming under the water. I don't recall ever reading where the water was brought to them. If so, where's the passage? In the book of Matthew, chapter 3, it said in verse 5 that then went out to him Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around about Jordan. They were baptized of him in Jordan. They didn't bring the Jordan to them. They didn't bring a little water out of the Jordan River to them. But they came to him in Jordan. And then in verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized in him. And verse 16 says, Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. What must have happened for it to be said that he went up out of the water? Must have gone down into the ground. That requires much water for immersion of the whole person in water. Similarly, in Acts chapter 8, when Philip preached Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch, the Bible says in verse 36, as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch says, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chair to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both from the eunuch. That requires much water, doesn't it? For two grown men to go down into it, one to immerse the other. And then to come up out of it. That's Bible baptism. Much water. Again, they came to the water. I said, well, they just bring a cup of water. Or a jug of water. Bring a pitcher of water. Where do you read of the water being brought to them and sprinkled or poured upon? You read where they came unto it. And much water was required. As the Bible demonstrates baptism to be a burial and a planting. Romans 6:3-5. all being, know ye not that so many of us as are baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so we also should walk in his life. For if we have been planted together the likeness of his death, we should be also likeness of his resurrection. My circle in verse 4, buried, and then in verse 5, planted. That depicts an immersion. And so there's eight right there. Emphasizing words. Most surely, so much more, more and more, so much the more earnest, exceeding abundantly above, and much. When we read this book, we do well to pay attention to the words, because every word is important. These are not words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. That makes it important. As Paul said, all scripture is given inspiration of God. All scripture. Every word. Profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. And so if we don't pay close attention to these words, there's so much we can miss. Like emphasizing words. Words are used to emphasize God's plan of salvation. Like hearing. Hear ye him, Matthew 17:5. Believing the gospel. Acts 15:7. Repentance. Acts 3:19. Repentance of sin is emphasized through words. Confessing Jesus is emphasized through words. Romans 10:9. Being baptized is emphasized through words. Through words like, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3:27. Faithfulness is emphasized time and again through words. As the Lord said, be thou faithful unto death. And I'll give thee the crown of life. So we use those words to emphasize the need to hear, to believe, to repent, to confess, and to be baptized. And to be faithful. If you've not done that, why not now? Have you obeyed the gospel, but you've not been living right? Words are used to emphasize what needs to be done about it. Repentance and prayer. Actually, Simon, he was told to repent and pray. And so, may those words be emphasized for our benefit this day. We can assist you in making life right with God. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Won't you come, obtain that blessing, while we stand and sing the song.